Whoa! Hey, Gundamaniacs! Welcome to the Gundam Explained show live. This is going to be a fun one. Like, completely fun. Because lately we've been doing these three-person streams and it's been fun talking. Yeah. You know, normally, you know, we have Steven. That's Norm. That we all know. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But today we have Shirt Lad, which is awesome.
Shirt Lad joining the trio.
What's that?
Shirt Lad joining the trio.
You've been on Steven's show before. You're always around the Discords. Consistent content creators, I would say, when it comes to Gundam and specifically gaming. What I'm going to do real quick is actually pop that URL into the chat real quick.
Yeah, I would say that for those of you not familiar with Shirt Lad, like, if you're looking for like onboarding for retro Gundam gaming, like, he's the guy, because everybody else, like, that, you know, everyone's got like the same like four games that they recommend. It's like Extreme Versus, Gundam Versus Zeta Gundam, Gundam Breaker 3, and like
GBO2.
Maybe something else on PS3 or Xeonic Front, right? Like,
oh yeah,
yeah. Sometimes, yeah. Muso.
Yeah, right. Yeah, good. And that's for the Xbox fans in the chat. Which, how many of us are there? Like two.
this is going to be good. We're going to talk gaming. We're going to talk Gundam, the two G's of life. Before that, real quick, shout out to the chat. We see King Dylan 5000, Talos Mobius, Hyena Mage, Neo X, Barry BB, Simply New Type. Good to see you, Jamkel X. So we've got a show going on. We've got a good crew here in the chat. Speaking of chat, I put a poll up. It's an interesting poll because I'm asking, have you been playing a Gundam game this week? I'm just curious because, real quick, guys, there really hasn't been a new Gundam game for a while. Like, if we don't count GBO2 on PC, I think before that was SD Gundam Battle Alliance. So I'm always kind of curious, like, what people are playing when there's been, like, a gap. So by the end, I'll look and see what people have posted in there. But I want to go back to Shirt Lad. See, I can point down below me right here. Shirt Lad, long time like friend of our channels. I think originally Steven introduced, I think, me to Shirt Lad because he was, you know, originally. Yep. But Shirt Lad, real quick, how would you like to explain what you do?
Okay, generally cover Gundam games and the combination thereof. I usually, cover whatever tickles my fancy at the moment, though as you could see from me branching off to covering the plot of Crossbone as well, on top of covering games. I've also been trying to, mess around with various sorts of shit posts as usual.
Yeah.
Of course, as stated, games. So that's what my channel's about.
Had a video drop today covering the Gapplant in Gundam versus Zeta Gundam, and so this is one of those things. I think when we first met, you had kind of opened my eyes to the idea of the Gundam versus games being fighting games and treating them as fighting games instead of treating them as, like, third person shooters,
which is an interesting way to go about it, because sometimes when it comes to those games like the Gundam Verse series, like, they are sort of action oriented, but sometimes they've morphed more into the fighting. And so, but Shirt Lad, what would you say is a retro Gundam game you've been playing recently that is one of your favorites?
Like, aside from the games that I play in order to cover it for videos.
Yeah.
That's a tough question, because There's quite a hefty pile of them that I do enjoy. A thing that I've been playing a lot lately would be, I'd say, G-Generation Spirits, because it's basically G-Generation Genesis before G-Generation Genesis.
Oh.
It's UC only. It has Crossbone Skullheart stages, including the Gump.
Nice.
Hey, is... Is the Crossbone in the Genesis one?
Oh, so it's not really. Genesis goes all the way up to Hathaway.
Okay. Okay, so cool. That I've only gotten as far as Zeta. There's so much early, like one year war stuff. Yeah. I might have to check out Spirits then, because I really want to be playing around more with some late UC stuff. I know that's nothing Steven wants to hear about. I get it. Fine. No, no, that stuff's pretty cool. More late UC, and I guess, yeah, seeing how you cover, yeah, Crossbone on your channel also, that, for those that like that stuff, I mean, yeah, link in the chat for Shirt Lad's channel, but also in the description, the Odyssey page and his Twitter, so you can, with the Twitter, kind of keep track of what he's working on.
Yeah, you gotta keep track of the memes.
Yep, I also post doodles on Twitter.
Yeah, that's always fun. Yeah. I like the profile picture that we decided to use for you on stream today. I think it's kind of like a classic. Like, I look at that and I see Shirt Lad, you know?
Yeah.
No, that's cool. But, really awesome that you could join us to talk Gundam and gaming like we do all the time. Just real quick, some interesting news that I saw recently that I haven't talked about on the channel is, like, there's that new real grade Grandpa Gundam coming out. Shirt Lad, this is something I don't know, but do you build Gunpla regularly?
Wouldn't necessarily say regularly, because I'm very
It's not your primary way to enjoy Gundam, right? It's mainly the gaming.
Yeah, for the most part, because, like, with my schedule being chaotic at times, I can't really, like, I usually get a kit or two, I snap build it, then I come up with a way to add details, and then I sit on it for a multitude of months just doing nothing.
Huh. I don't know. Yeah. That sounds like somebody I know, but I can't think of anybody that's that much of a procrastinator when it comes to their custom kits.
That's funny, because it reminds me, yesterday on your show, we had Ashley, the Gundam Explained social media person, but also members of our Discords, and she was actually showing off some of her customs too, because she just got into it. But I like that dynamic. There's that huge difference. I mean, she likes games too. She's really into gaming. But, like, how she was talking about, like, 30 kits she built in, like, maybe the past year or so, or year less, I think.
Yeah, that's wild.
And
especially then, considering, like, you know, she only got into building in 2023, basically.
Yeah, I know. But what's cool.
That just highlights the differences, like, sort of in the fan base. I'm sorry, I probably took the words right out of your mouth.
No, but you're right. No, that's what's cool about it, because I feel like I live in that middle zone where it's like I kind of like to take it all in, but then it's good to have kind of like pros, like, you know, Shirt Lad from the gaming side.
Didn't necessarily call myself a pro, but yeah.
Well, no, it's cool, because I've been able to, like, ask you questions every once in a while, especially when it comes to more obscure Gundam stuff. So lately I started playing, like, the PSP Gundam games, because I didn't really think about checking them out, but, like, you would talk about or share screenshots, and I'm like, what is this screenshot from? And it's, you know, these titles that no one talks about. And so jumping into those PSP titles, they're really good. They have just classic Gundam action going on with them. Have you completed all of them, or have you just played them?
There's quite a handful of them, which are quite long. I mean, you got the two Gundam Age games. There's Grindfists that are, you know, Gundam Battle Universe, Gundam Assault Survive. I've played a ton of the Versus games, with Gundam Versus Gundam being fairly mediocre, and Gundam Versus Gundam Next Plus being fairly good. And of course, yeah, there's a lot on basically every console. So I usually tend to play my fair share, but when it comes to playing stuff long term, I usually get a handful of them, which I stick with.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, and I've been doing that too, where I'll jump into a bunch, whether recommended by you or the community, and I'll never finish them. But then, like, it will take time for me to find one that are like, okay, I'm going to complete this. So I feel like eventually I'm going to get through and complete, you know, the PSP ones.
It's like the DS game, like 3D battle. Like,
it's so long. I was just about to say that, like, I'm like playing through that, but there's so much more to do it that, you know, it's going to take some time. So it's just good. It's good to know that there's going to be all these like Gundam gaming experiences that you can have at any time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that one of the things that people tend to overlook is how many different ways there are to sort of engage with Gundam as a franchise, whether it's through model kits or different types of video games. Everybody thinks that there's like only two types of Gundam games. And sure, lad, you did a video not too long ago. What was it, like maybe a month or two ago, where the thumbnail is "Where have all the good Gundam games gone?" And that was such an excellent breakdown of like the dark ages of the 2010s, when there were like no Gundam games in the West, but there was just like hundreds of Gundam games coming out. And I think what was awesome about that is that you also directed people like, here's how to find them, you know, like,
yeah, I just put it in the chat too, for people to check out. Cause again, good resource. There's so many of these games I wouldn't even know about. And not just that, but like, I was trying to allude to this earlier, like in Discord, you know, Shirt Lad, you'll kind of post memes or replies, but with screenshots of interesting things of like, what mobile suit is that? And you're like, oh, it's from this game that I never heard of. And I'm like, oh, what? And yeah, it's crazy. Okay, let me ask you this other thing. Are you big into watching the Gundam anime?
Of course, I've watched most of the Gundam series out there, with Gundam Age, Gundam Build, Fighter Stry, and I think one of the special web OVAs for One Build series being the only exceptions to like the backlog of Gundam stuff that I haven't watched.
Oh, so there's still some stuff you haven't watched yet.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot. There's stuff.
And I'm not necessarily eager to watch Age.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting. Like, would you say that you've watched most UC? Or is there still some you haven't watched?
I'd say I've watched basically the entirety of UC.
Okay.
Unless Ring of Gundam and G-Savior counts, because those, I haven't watched those yet.
Ah, you need to. You need to get into G-Savior.
Now, I know you're a UC guy like us, but what is your favorite Gundam AU series?
Oh, good one.
That is a good one.
I figured I'd put you on the spot.
I do enjoy Wing a bit. I do enjoy Gundam X.
Yeah.
I wouldn't rank them as high as a lot of the UC entries that I enjoy, but
yeah, that's.
I guess those two would be like something I'd consider enjoyable.
Yeah, and like, yeah, for me, I would add like 00 in there, but yeah, X is it's its own thing. I think it's very interesting how X, like, I haven't finished it. I'm at like episode 23 or something, so I'm up there, but it's. It's interesting how it feels different, but has the same familiarity to it. Okay, yeah, that's pretty. So then let me ask you this. Are you interested in seeing that new Seed Freedom movie? Does that interest you?
Outside of morbid curiosity as to how much of a train wreck it will be, I mean, I'm definitely not going to pay. Okay. I may or may not sail the seven seas to find out what the fuss is about, and
cool.
I guess I'd probably leave it be after that.
Well, and I think that highlights a big part of what you do, and kind of the issues that a lot of worldwide Gundam fans have is that there are so few ways to access Gundam media in. You know, legitimate means,
yeah,
that like you really, even just as a form of like archival preservation, you know, emulating video games or finding streams somewhere online, it's like that's what you have to do because it's so inaccessible for a lot of people.
Especially considering Shirt Lad's not even in North America or Japan.
Yeah.
Some of the Asian territories that are getting this released. So you almost have no choice.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited. And it's kind of that morbid curiosity too, because I wouldn't say I would be as excited as a UC Gundam, but I'm just really interested in like the animation and the mobile suits looking cool. And so yesterday Ashley was telling us that they had some release dates, and I guess I missed that, but it's going to be in May. I think it was May. Yeah. And they're doing it around here where there's going to be two showings, like on one day and then the next day, but the next day is the dub. So very I'm excited nice. About that, but Shirt Lad, keep me up to date. I'd be interested if like you hear where you live, anywhere near you, they're like trying to, you know, it's interesting because even if not in the theater, you would think they would release it maybe digitally. Like I heard like in some territories, Disney Plus is getting some Japanese anime. I forgot what it was off the top of my head, but it was like kind of that example where depending on the territory, there might be another way, but that's not the case.
VPN it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That would have to be what you'd got to get to do for that. So. But no, move on. Talk a little bit more about some gaming stuff. If you guys don't mind, I need to gush for a second about Dragon's Dogma 2. Okay.
All right. Lay it on.
Yeah. Right. So did you guys play the first Dragon's Dogma at all?
Nope.
No, not I.
Okay. It plays like an action game, but like the rules are like embedded into the world in terms of like the physics, the reactions, because it's all like heavily on NPCs. You always have three people with you and you're organizing their inventory and their weapons. And what's amazing is I'll go out on a quest and you just never know, like maybe. So I have one NPC, they're called pawns. That's like mine that I made, and I made it a mage so that it could heal me and buff me with stuff. So yes. Like now I have it where she gives me electricity for my sword. And I just recently got an ice sword so I can use ice damage and electrical damage at the same time. But what's neat though is that as you play, you'll interchange the other pawns with pawns that players have used or whatever. And I was playing with this one pawn and I got this new quest, and this pawn I had already done the quest with the player that it was from. So she's like, oh, hey, I've done this. Do you want me to tell you where to go? I was like, oh, yeah. So you like the D-pad is the commands. And Hatter, we were talking about this recently with commands for stuff like that. Yeah. So you press up and it's the go command. And then she started going to where it was. So I didn't bother needing to check my map or anything. I just followed her and
that's got me cool.
to where I needed to go. Yeah. But along the way, like you could do something where like maybe I got a new pawn from a player, and then the pawn sees me because there's a grab button so you can pick up an enemy and throw him over a cliff, and then that pawn would then learn that, so then it would do that.
So that's really amazing AI design.
I think that's what makes the game work. It's about the interaction with the world, and this is stuff we keep talking about. It's like the interaction with the world and the players in it, and it's just like Helldivers in that way, because in Helldivers, even though the other people with me are my teammates, there's the world we have to worry about, like the nuances of the physics and all that. And it reminds me how this type of system I think is universal, even though we're seeing it in Dragon's Dogma because it's for the RPG element. It's almost like it adds that tabletop element of what random people in your group would say or do, but doing it in the game without having to have other people.
Which is such a hard thing to replicate in code and through algorithms, like that sort of X factor of RNG.
Yeah, and so my thought was, then again, I always go back to this thought. It's like, here's another system that Gundam could make use of very well. You know, just in terms of if you're on the battlefield with other mechs and how other mechs would make use of or pilots would make use of their mobile suits, weapons, and equipment. I think the AI would be that sort of level would be interesting to like add to that along again with the physics. And like, or the emergent gameplay. Like, I'll be running around and I come across like a Cyclops. So I'm like, okay, let's fight this. And I'll like jump on its back, crawl up, stab it in the neck. It throws me off. And then all of a sudden this griffin comes down and attacks it. And then it's like, we're fighting these two things. I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? And it's insane. But it just goes back to like, again, going back to Gundam, they could probably learn from doing some sort of emergent gameplay design, especially if you're on a battlefield with your mobile suits. You don't know what explosions are going to cause, you know, to happen. So, Shirtlad, with that being said, I wanted to ask you, like, when it comes to mechanics in a Gundam game, I was just talking about how Dragon's Dogma seems to, like,
of course,
do these emergent things that are so fun. But is there a Gundam game you've played where you've been surprised by the system that it has? Or the mechanics?
I guess a while ago I've played a lot of the older quote-unquote action strategies that Bandai had made with Gundam Gashapon Senshi and then followed through with both the Gashapon Wars on GameCube and I can hear that, I think. And of course SD Gundam GX for the Super Famicom.
Okay, which, excellent example, because I don't know what these games are.
All right,
so, I knew you would know something, and so, yeah, I'm going to have to check that out then, because...
I can make a summary if if you want. Yeah. All right, so, basically, within this genre, there's these games, take the SD Gundam GX, for example, where you basically have a standard strategy game grid, but when you initiate combat, it kind of gets relegated into these real-time action sequences. For example, in GNext, you straight up have a Duck Hunt, an arcade Duck Hunt-esque sequence when you shoot the mobile suit and the mobile suit dodges, and of course you also have this 2D shoot 'em up flat plane that shows up whenever you fight a mobile suit with another mobile suit. It's really cool.
Okay. Yeah, because
on top of that, it has multiplayer.
Oh, it has. Is this the one you said, right? The GNext?
Yes.
It was like a satellite game, I guess.
For the Shadowview. Yep.
That one sounds similar to Zeta Gundam Hot Scramble, like the way that that has like the rail shooting portion, and then once you get into the colony, it turns into a side scroller where you kind of fly around and shoot Hyzaks.
Wow, yeah, I remember you guys mentioning that, but I'm gonna have to check that out. So that's what's cool is, I feel like sometimes with modern video games, they kind of get stuck in that modernization where, okay, these games all need to feel like this. Left trigger needs to be aim. Or what's the other one? There needs to be a lock-on. You know, like that's what... So I think it's kind of a breath of fresh air, even though it's an old breath of going back to the older games that kind of
did dusty air.
Yeah. Well, that did kind of older, interesting things. So... Again, like, this is a good example. Like, if you're really interested in those more interesting older Gundam games that have different gameplay elements, most likely Shirtlad has covered it on his channel. And if you have questions, obviously drop by Hatter's or my Discord to ask Shirtlad a question. I'm going to have to check that out, though, because, yeah, I was just searching this on the side. The Gundam...
Did your audio cut out?
Oh, mine? Can you not hear me?
It kind of desynced. So it's like...
It kind of desynced.
But,
like...
Yeah. I still hear you, so...
Okay, hopefully it will... Okay. Yeah. Does it look odd, like my mouth is moving separate from talking?
Yeah, it looks like a bad dub, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Alter says the feds got to Adam.
We got Adam now? Abridged.
That's a little closer. I wonder if... Yeah, that was weird, but...
Okay. Yeah,
if it's not bugging everybody on the show, then, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. Oh, even I can see a delay looking at me. Let's see if I can fix that. Give me a second. Huh. Very strange. Let me do. I know we want to be talking and not like talking tech support.
But, right. No dead air. So, Shirt Lad, I guess one of the things that we've always talked about, like the content that you put out and, you know, your affinity for Gundam stuff. But like, I guess my question is, what inspired you to start creating content? Because I think when we had first met, you were, you know, you were really active on the Discord. You were really active on, I don't know. You weren't too active on Twitter, but I think we dragged you into it so that you could help us fight the weeb wars.
I guess if you put it that way. I don't know what initially spurred me on to start a channel. I guess it was a mix of boredom and basically a sort of an urge to turn my fits of video game related tism into something more digestible for people, something that might be of use.
I would say so. I mean, like I said, there's not a lot of English speaking content that speaks towards some of these titles that have kind of gone forgotten for a while. So it's awesome that, you know, people are kind of learning how to play these games the way that they were intended to be played.
Yeah. By the way, is the audio better?
Yeah, you're back.
Awesome. Yep. Unplug it, plug it back in. No, I just
there hit you the go. Refresh.
No, but that's cool. But no, yeah, good point with that. And then kind of going back to what we were like talking about. Yeah, these older games, getting back to the older Gundam games. I think Shirt Lad's a good resource for that. So everyone check that out. But
and Shirt Lad, you've dabbled in a bit of game dev yourself. Like, I think you've put together a couple of like text-based games, correct? And like, I was actually really impressed with the text-based VATS system that you made.
Yeah, it ran on spaghetti code. It was awful to look at, but it worked.
It did. But I mean, I think that's fascinating. It gives you, you know, even at that level, it gives you so much insight into kind of how these games play and how they're designed. I think, you know, I was over on Talos's channel last week talking about sort of reverse engineering some of the Gundam battle operation mechanics and how those work. And then even you were streaming the other day. It wasn't actually a Gundam game you were playing. What was the game you were playing this week on stream?
This week, Running with Rifles.
Running.
That was an awesome one. So that's a that was like a top down sort of third person indie shooter, right? Can you tell us about that one?
Yeah. So Running with Rifles is basically what one would call a dollar store foxhole. It's a sort of a isometric top down army shooter. You play as green, brown, and gray army men, and you shoot at the opposing army. Of course, there's like the time to kill is very short for every single thing, so things are going pretty fast in that game. You can get pretty much Final Destination from the opposite side of the map, thanks to the game's physics.
Oh, see, okay, it's one of those.
You would like this, Adam, because it's such a robust game for being like a, you know,
the systems upon systems like merging with each other.
I mean, you've got like vehicles going on. You've got, you know, the insane physics that kind of lead to some funny moments. I think that those are the types of you know, fun, like make your own fun type games.
I threw a link in the chat from the Steam page. It actually has a free demo.
Yeah, there you go.
That worth trying. Yeah, that's my type of thing. That's very cool. And you were streaming this on your YouTube?
On my channel. I do Wednesday stream. Sometimes I pick up a Gundam game. Sometimes
I see it. Yeah.
Grab one of the games from my backlog and I mess around with it.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it makes Wednesdays a fun day because it's like you can catch Shirt Lad streaming like basically all the way up until my show starts.
Okay. So maybe that's why I've missed you because I'm usually working. Yeah, but good to know, actually. If I'm waiting, you know, to do your show, I can just watch that. Okay, very cool. Yeah. I'm going to have to check out this game.
It's pretty amazing. And honestly, it's one of the few, when I looked at the Steam page, I was like, wait a second, I can actually play it on my Mac. Like,
oh, that's
somebody has gave the Mac guy the break.
We can play all that.
Well, okay. So that's interesting because that to me, I've never heard of this game before, but it looks very interesting. So another like obscure title to go along with the obscure Gundams you play. Is there anything mainstream or non-obscure that you play?
Well, I used to play Far Cry for a while. I do have my Armored Cores.
Ah.
Yep.
I've got Armored Core 6 from a buddy of mine.
Oh, that's
cool. I emulated a couple Armored Core games. Of course, there's quite a handful of like classics that I play on my off time, such as Nier Automata, Hotline Miami.
Oh,
things of that nature.
Okay. I love Hotline Miami. I remember when that came out, when it first came out on PC, I think it was, I played through and beat it. And then it was like on the Vita, you know, the PlayStation Vita. So I played through and beat it. And yeah, that was a great game. Did you ever play that, Steven? Hotline Miami?
No, but I have heard rave reviews, so I'm like, man, you know, maybe I need to dust off the old Vita. And
oh yeah, if you got the Vita, yeah, and it's interesting because I don't think it looks like a game that you could play that exists, but it still feels very different than any game even now.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's just it is kind of like not run based, but it's like you start the level and you could mess up right away. And then, but you restart. Like, yeah. So you're immediately back into the action, but then using the environment. And you could really come. Sometimes you have to do things a certain way, but most of the time you can kind of choose how you, you know, use a door to kill someone or just alert someone or go different way. And the story is, I totally forget it, but I remember being intrigued by the story as it went because it kind of didn't make sense.
I don't like that story.
Oh, you didn't like it?
I said I did.
Oh, you did too. Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah, it's very unique.
This actually
it reminds me of the Pulp Fiction movie in a way.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Well, I guess that suits the theme of the game is to have that like Pulp Fiction vibe to it.
Drug dealers, all that killing people.
But yeah, I would probably want to play it on this guy, my handy dandy PSTV.
Oh,
this sweet. Guy, like, I miss consoles like this because basically, for those of you who don't know, this is, you know, back in the Vita days because Vita was amazing. You know, you could pick up this PSTV, which is essentially a PS Vita that you plug into your TV, and it's like a miniature console, and it's even got an Ethernet port so you can connect it to the internet, HDMI out, USB. You can transfer the memory card from your Vita to this. So for the longest time, I actually didn't play SDG generation on the PS4. I was playing Genesis. Like, I would play on the Vita to go, and then I'd come home, put it in here, switch the memory card over, and then I'd play it on my TV. So it was like, but like, look at this thing. It's this little baby console. It's amazing.
No, that is amazing because like that kind of shows that example where, you know, Sony and Nintendo's doing this. They're trying to figure out how do you marry the idea of playing your games anywhere? Because that keeps you in their ecosystem. And, you know, all those retro handhelds that are coming out that I have are like super popular right now.
Yeah.
And I just realized like with one that I have, it has HDMI out and it has Bluetooth. So I can HDMI out it to my TV and then Bluetooth a controller. And it's like, it goes up to PlayStation, Dreamcast. And it's weird to think like where we really are right now. when it comes to gaming.
It's a very, very interesting time. Now, Shirt Lad, you are primarily a PC gamer. You know, I guess both out of necessity and because, you know, you are a firm believer in PC gaming. Do you see yourself, you know, kind of getting into the handhelds or, you know, kind of experimenting with portable gaming, or are you comfortable at your desk?
I'm very much comfortable at my desk.
I respect that. But like, honestly, there's something to be said about, I think, having like a dedicated gaming space, the same way that we kind of have like dedicated working spaces and things like that, so that you can physically put yourself in the state of mind to do the thing that you're in that space for, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, that's why I've been getting big into the handhelds, because when I'm done with work, I just sometimes just want to be out of the office so I can like take my handheld with me, go plug it into another TV. But then it's like the same place I do my day job, I also have all my Gundam toys, and it's like, you know, but yeah, it's interesting how things are moving around like that. But then, you know, that just made me think real quick, like, all that then requires is, you know, the handheld device or a controller somewhere. But like something that is missing, for instance, like there were some of those mech games like that came out on Xbox or Saturn where they had, you know, those accessory joystick things. And it's like
Steel Battalion.
Yeah. And you need a dedicated space to that. And I feel like because maybe publishers are moving away from, I guess since the Guitar Hero and Rock Band days, having all these crazy accessories, like it's kind of then made it to where there's no need to have a space. I remember when the last time I was doing something like that was with the PSVR and Rogue Squadron. I think that's what it was called. I totally forget. The X-Wing TIE Fighter game. VR headset with the joystick. I can't do that portable. But It does make sense, though, even though I want to move around, to still have like a dedicated gaming space.
I wonder how much of that also has to do with, you know, what we were talking about that impacts the Gunpla market, where Japan is trying to reduce plastic usage and consumption by, what, 2030, 2035, something like that. So the idea of having all these extra peripherals and, like, you know, essentially a ton of plastic and a ton of like components that would have to be made, they're trying to get away from that.
Yeah. And they're starting with packaging, where things are less plastic packaging now, but next they're coming for our goods. I mean, it's interesting to see where that goes, but then that's also coming back to video games. What has allowed video games to sort of succeed with those smaller and smaller margins is publishers don't necessarily have to print these games anymore or create the instruction manuals and the box art and the plastic of the boxes that they would be in. That even reminds me of during the Sega Genesis days, Sega went from the plastic clamshell to the cardboard.
Yeah.
And the Super Nintendo always had the cardboard. It's very interesting how that's kind of changed. But yeah, any thoughts from you, Shirt Lad, about uses of plastic?
Wouldn't necessarily say plastic, but I think I really like, despite not really growing up with a console, so to speak, I do somewhat feel nostalgic for that era where you got guidebooks to games, not really just manuals, but
the
full on books you could get at bookstores, like. I remember like that brief period where Minecraft was the in thing, like during 2009, 2010, where every single bookshop had at least one or two guidebooks.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, the kids.
Prima, like the Prima guidebooks, and they were so like funny to read. Like I remember having like the Resident Evil 2 ones, and it was like, oh, here's how you unlock Leon's secret costumes, and like, isn't it weird that they rendered his armpit hair for like, it's like,
yeah, that's cool because you get and I remember that time too where you would rely less, you had to rely less on the internet to see images or get ideas and stuff, and. Yeah, I might be in a store looking at a guidebook. there's not many. It's funny when it comes to guides, because sometimes I'd have fun with a game and the guide next to me. But sometimes it's like, no, I don't want to use a guide. But I think it depends on the game.
It's nice to have a safety net, but like, you know, it's like you want to figure it out yourself.
Yeah, it's funny because I was looking up the Symphony of the Night guidebook, you know, the original, because I guarantee, and I think it's accurate, that it doesn't include every possible thing you can do in the game, because I think sometimes, and from what I understand, when they make these guides, some things are sometimes missing, like especially if it's side content. But I think it was like hundreds of dollars for that Symphony of the Night guidebook, just more of memorabilia than really because people wanted a guidebook, you know. But I thought,
of course,
you know, that's funny because when I sold off my video game collection years ago, the guidebooks were a big part of that, like in terms of making money. It's weird how that works. I guess it's a books thing. I don't know.
Yeah. There's something about like the sort of the artifact, like the token of the thing, is almost more important than the knowledge and the product contained within it.
Even during that time, I had bought, actually I still have that though, the Bloodborne art book, because I just the Bloodborne atmosphere, it was just so good. And I had to just look.
That was always cool when you would get the special editions of video games and they came with like a concept art book.
Oh yeah.
Of course, it's like now, you know, I feel like the future of gaming is you're just going to get a bunch of AI generated, like, hey, this is our concept art.
You know what? Very interesting you brought that up, because with Gundam Breaker 4, you know, that's a special edition with the model kit and stuff. And it's like, I wonder how that's going to sell. Like, I'm curious, like, obviously I want it to sell good, but like, I'm really curious for, it's like video game market versus Gunpla market. Like, if it sells, was that more because of people wanting a Gunpla kit, or was that because, you know, people wanted to play the game, which most people I think would just buy digitally anyway.
Yeah. And I know that secondhand, those kits are probably going to be super expensive. So like, it's almost more beneficial to just pre-order the game to get the kit if you want the kit, because otherwise you're going to end up spending like $400 to get the kit secondhand from somebody that bought like two copies of it. But yeah, sure. Lad, are you going to pick up the PC version of Gundam Breaker 4?
Maybe when it's on a steep discount, or maybe I'll look around and at the key resource sites. Maybe. Because, nowadays the price tags being the way they are, with discounts being as sparse as they are.
Yeah.
I don't think I can really justify myself blowing, 60 euros, sometimes more on a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially if you're a PC gamer and you know it could be 3 months or 6 months, it's gonna be reduced a lot. Like, I bought Dragon's Dogma on day one, but that was more of that, like, I know what I'm getting into and I can't wait. But yeah, something like Gundam Breaker 4, at least for me, it's not the type of game I really want to play, but I'm excited because it's Gundam. Sherlock, did you play the other Gundam Breaker games?
Unfortunately, only the new gun, Gundam Breaker,
the one that everyone says is bad.
But I have a Breaker 1 and 2 installed.
Oh,
I should probably get around to running that on the PS3 emulator.
Yeah,
but you know, I'll get to it
in 20 years when they're considered obscure.
Yeah, there you go. You guys have no idea how great we had it back in the Breaker 2 and 3 days. Like, you guys are playing like Gundam Breaker X on your
that would be hilarious
on your Xbox series.
Back in the day when we had Gundam Evolution. Another thing real quick. Just yesterday it was announced that they're coming out with a Marvel hero shooter. Did you guys hear about this?
Oh man.
I was fairly apathetic to it, and now I'm still apathetic to it.
You think that Suicide Squad would have made them think, maybe this isn't the way to go.
And not only that, at least Suicide Squad was, even though very similar, it wasn't like it was copying directly. It was just like, okay, we'll make our own little action. I even heard someone say the Captain Boomerang character is so fun to play, he might as well have his own game. And that's always interesting. You know, like the Avengers game was like that, where the individual characters had cool move sets, but that didn't necessarily translate to a whole game. With this Marvel game, like, I think it's just a hero shooter. So really, it's like, would people care? We saw what happened with Gundam. We saw what happened with Avengers, and that wasn't even copying a hero shooter.
Yeah.
I think the charm with that is, like, being Spider-Man, for instance, and his abilities mimicking what we see in the comics or, like, the movies, you know, whereas it's not like a made-up character, you know? And then even with Gundam Evolution, even though they had powers that were similar to what's done in the show, it was almost done arbitrarily. It was just like, well, here's just this effect and this thing happens for this specific outcome. But it was hard to translate that to, like, being part of that universe. That lends better probably to Marvel characters, but I cannot see this game doing well.
I mean, I'm sure it, you know, day one, it's going to sell like crazy just on the back of the IP, but it's one of those things where I don't think people understand what it is that makes Overwatch, what made Overwatch originally successful, because clearly the fan base has kind of fallen off with Overwatch 2, but
yeah,
I think that, you know, when you look at, when you go to like comic cons and you see people cosplaying as Tracer and McCree and all this stuff, like there's clearly an attachment to the Overwatch IP that goes beyond just being a hero shooter. And I think that it does a disservice to any IP that you put in that space. Because no one was going to cosplay as a Methus and say like, ooh, I'm going to heal you up with my dual guns. Like, that's not a thing. That you don't have the cute catchphrases from the Dom Trooper and the Zazabee. You know, it's like,
you're bringing up an excellent point, because all they're really doing is, okay, Overwatch was a hero shooter, let's do that. But no. Overwatch, you might have labeled it a hero shooter, but it's Overwatch. Overwatch did that thing. It's like, it did that. So if you're going to make another game to do that, it's just going to be like, people are going to be like, what, you know? And I even heard like it's starting on PC and then later will be on console, which I think is another miss always, I think, because the idea is to play anywhere, you know, where someone can feel like, you know, so hey, let's say if they came out of the gate and said, you buy one copy and you can play it on any console you own and it's cross play, cross progression, that would get more people interested because of the accessibility.
Yeah, because it's hard to justify those price tags when everything's being distributed digitally, like you were saying.
Yeah.
You know, like if I can go to a GameStop and get a game for $30 that if I were to log on to the PlayStation Store and try to buy it, it would be $60. You know, what's the why?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Sherlad, are you a fan of Marvel stuff at all?
I used to like a lot of Marvel stuff for about half a decade, and it kind of, I don't know, fizzled out. Because in my neck of the woods, I managed to get my hands on a decent chunk of like the mid to, well, early to mid 2000s all the way to early 2010s runs, you know, the Astonishing X-Men, Amazing Spider-Man with Straczynski.
Those were good times.
Oh.
Yep. And,
I was going to say, not to out you, but like, you know, Adam and I kind of grew up in the 90s with the Spider-Man cartoon, with the X-Men cartoon, with the Justice League, the Batman cartoons and stuff like that. You're a little bit younger than us, so there's that generational difference where it's like, you know, you might have caught those shows in syndication, but you weren't watching them when they came out, right?
Yeah. So, to be fair, I did grow up on some, like, fairly old series, be it region specific stuff or even reruns of Dino Sorcerers and even MASH.
Oh wow.
Nice.
That's cool, because speaking of,
that's what makes you our honorary boomer.
Yep.
But no, speaking of the Marvel stuff, like that, you know, and we talked about it before, the X-Men 97 cartoon is, and I love it. I love it so much. And there, the one main thing I realized about when I was watching it versus like the Marvel MCU stuff, and you know, I'm not like, I would, if you asked me 10 years ago or 12, I would say, yeah, I like Marvel because I think X-Men. But after like watching the MCU movies, it's like, I don't really care about this. But what X-Men does is you have these people with incredible powers that have human problems, and it's never undercut by humor. The humor is a separate thing. It will just be maybe an interaction with these characters and there's some fun humor. But then when it gets back to like the real problems, I'm at the edge of my seat because I'm like, how is someone with these interesting, extraordinary mutant powers able to deal with the situation that I have to deal with or on a different level, you know? And
oh no, who's going to fix the toilet? Iceman, get in here.
Like, yeah, no, but it's, yeah. That, and I think,
no, and but it's funny because I was even watching like the low hanging fruit like that. Like, I think that that's one of the things that the MCU kind of does is they go for the low hanging fruit where it's like, you know,
here's a quick Happy Meal.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because I was watching an interview because they have some of the old cast that's doing the voices for this new X-Men. And they were talking about like they didn't realize back then because there's no internet how popular that show had become. And so when they look back at how popular it was, and it was that, it was making it where the show's not aimed for kids. It's just aimed for people that want to see some badass superheroes. And I think that's where these companies miss this a lot. It's like they're trying to aim for a kid, but kids are interested in what the grownups are doing because that's where they see their future at.
That's something that I have I've pointed out a lot is that like kids typically don't want to watch kid superheroes. Like they want to watch the grown-up superheroes. I think when you have like, you know, movies about like kid superheroes, those are typically written for like adults that like want to, you know, imagine what like maybe their kids would do if they were superheroes. You know, it's like this weird flip-flop. Like
it reminds me of like when I would show things that I think my kids would like and they don't really care. Or
like, I'm gonna watch RoboCop.
Or you might know this, Steven. Like when my kids were super young and you would give them the baby toy, they would want the human version of it. I couldn't give them a baby toy phone. They want the adult human phone.
That they don't see you talking on the toy phone. They see you talking on your phone. Yeah. So they want that one.
Yeah. And so again, they see what's around them and they want to bring that into themselves. And yeah, I think that's and you know, that's why I think it's interesting. This next Jurassic Park is going to be directed by Gareth Edwards and potentially star Scarlett Johansson. Like, whoa, mind blown right there. That's for me. But again, that's like, that doesn't seem like something that they'd aim at kids if they're going to hire those two creatives. You know, to me, that seems like that's more of a, let's try to
mass get appeal.
Everyone interested or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
sorry, well, yeah, I know that was a bit of a tangent.
No, but yeah, speaking of movies, real quick, Shirt Lad, any cool movies you've seen recently or shows?
Let's see. Yeah, I've been keeping up with the movies recently, but I did go out of my way to look up the Devilman OVAs.
Oh, I have not. I've heard of that. I have not seen that. Is that worth a watch?
Yeah, they're pretty metal, though. There's quite a hefty amount of body horror.
Okay. That sounds interesting. Then I've learned from like late 80s anime does a really good job of that. Is what? When did it come out?
I think around 90s.
Okay.
Let's see.
Okay, cool.
I think the third one is from 2000. So.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to look that up later because I'm always curious what people that are in like the Gundam fandom, like what is other stuff they watch, you know, because that might help me find something new. I'll have to check out Devilman because, I like the body horror angle. That's pretty cool. Well, so we're at the end here pretty much. Shirt Lad, anything to add or to promote? Yeah.
Well, let me think. Oh, yeah. One thing real quick. As much as I am flattered by the notion that I am a go-to for Gundam games, etc., I don't think this has to be said, but do not use me as a substitute, y'all. I mean, I don't mean anyone in specific, but feel free to always go out there, look stuff up yourself. There's stuff about just about anything, you know. The world of both physical and digital media is one's oyster, and I don't think, you know, one should pigeonhole themselves into, you know, just looking at one thing to kind of be like, this is that, and there's that.
Well said. I think
that's well said, yeah.
Expand your horizons. Kind of try to figure out what you may like or may not like. Yeah.
Because you might find that there's probably something in the space that you can contribute that other people haven't found yet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, cool. Well, thanks for those last words of wisdom.
Yeah, why?
That's well done. Well, cool. Well, yeah, that's it for today's episode. Thanks, everyone that joined. Check out Shirt Lad's channel. He's a part of, you know, this whole Gundam creative thing we've got going on. Check out the links in the description. Come swing by both of our Discords, you know, just to hang out and chat. Steven, anything else to add? Or are we good?
No, I think you nailed it.
Cool. All right. Well, everyone, have a good rest of the day. Have a good weekend. And we'll talk next time.
Signing out.
Oh, yeah. There you go.